Welcome to the Demons in My Mind podcast, where we take an unfiltered view of the issues in life. If you don't know my story, throughout high school, I struggled with crippling OCD, and the anxiety was overwhelming. I nearly lost all of my friends, and I truly know what it's like to endure mental illness and be misunderstood. Along this journey, I picked up a lot of tools and techniques to overcome mental illness, to overcome and succeed in mental health, and to grow into self-actualization. Today, we're going to talk about the ability to think about what you're thinking about. This one tool, this one principle is a simple concept, but if you apply it to your life, I promise you, it'll transform your thinking and your life from the inside out. So let's go ahead and get ready and dive into the concept of thinking about what you're thinking about. You might not think of yourself as a super smart person. You see, in our society, we tend to think of intelligence or IQ or any measure of smart as book smart. It means you have the ability to memorize facts and understand concepts typically taught in the Western school system. But is this truly the only measure of intelligence, or is this simply one measure of intelligence? I would argue, especially in the Western culture, this level of intelligence is highly elevated above other forms of intelligence, and other forms of intelligence are not given their due attention to actualize, maximize, and emphasize. One level of intelligence is emotional intelligence. And one aspect of emotional intelligence is the ability to think about what you're thinking about and intelligently decipher how that affects your mood, how that affects your attitude, and how that affects your outlook on life. This single concept could change your life because so many of us just go through life and allow the thoughts we think to influence our life without even considering them. What if not all your thoughts were yours? Even more, what if a lot of your thoughts are subconscious, and only until you begin to start confronting them and noticing them do they start coming to the surface? What if your brain is an untapped, unexplored continent that you have yet to venture into and discover? In this exploration, you're going to learn a lot of new things. You're going to discover some new plants. You're going to discover some new species. And through this self-discovery, it's going to be exciting. But at the same time, just like if you were to explore the Amazon jungle, it's terrifying. You see, in the Amazon jungle, there are so many species of animals that could kill humans. They're dangerous. There's so many plants that are poisonous and dangerous. There's a lot of danger to the unknown. But the good news is, even if you are confronted with one of the most dangerous thoughts in your life, this concept can help you cope with and overcome it. So before we get into the concept about thinking about what you're thinking about, I'll share a little bit of my story on how this has transformed my life, especially with my background of mental illness. So if you've heard my story, you know that I was diagnosed with crippling OCD in high school. And this wasn't the type of OCD where I had to arrange my pillows in a certain way and have everything aligned perfectly. The way OCD worked in my life is it targeted the things that I cared about the most and injected the most terrifying thoughts in my mind about them. So for instance, if I cared about a person deeply, sometimes I would get thoughts about wanting to murder them out of the blue. Now, this thought wasn't from me, this was from OCD, because at the core of who I was, I had no desire to hurt the people around me. Another thing is my faith was a big part of my life. My faith was something that mattered to me a lot, and a lot of thoughts were injected in my mind to terrify me, saying I was destined for failure, destined to let God down. And all these awful thoughts accusing me of wanting to do something to harm God, to do something to abandon him and rebel against him. This wasn't my heart. This wasn't my intention. This was far from what I wanted. But again, OCD targets the things that I cared about the most. Throughout my healing journey, I had to learn to decipher what voice was me and what voice wasn't me. Hence the name of this podcast, Demons in My Mind, because I fully believe not all your thoughts are yours. Your thoughts can come from voices in your past. Your thoughts can come from voices around you. In other words, the scenarios, the circumstances, and the people around you. There's a lot of voices in your head, and you need to decipher what is you and what is not. And that's what I had to do. So once I started to distinguish between what was truly me and what was not, it helped me walk in more stability. It honestly helped me cope. It helped me to have more of a stable mindset of recognizing that thought is not me. That's accusing me of something, but that's not truly how I feel. That's not truly who I am. That's not my true heart. That's not my true identity. That's what the power is in thinking about what you're thinking about. So now let's dive into the concept. How would I put thinking about what I'm thinking about into a word picture? I want you to imagine a big, strong tree in the middle of an open field. This tree has wonderful fruit that if you were to eat of it, it is entirely refreshing. It invigorates your soul and it leaves you satisfied and totally refreshed. Pan over, you see another big, strong tree, but its fruit is kind of different. This fruit is rotten. This fruit is putrid. It smells awful. And you decide to take a bite of it, and it just makes you vomit up, and it makes you more empty than when you first came to it. These are the two types of thoughts that grow in our life. But just like regular trees start from a seed, the same thing happens in your mind. You see, in your mind, you have good trees and bad trees, and you have other thoughts that are growing into these big trees. One tree can be a tree of life that every time you walk down that thought path, every time you drive down that thought highway, you get refreshed, you get invigorated, you get built up, and you leave better than before. On the flip side, if you travel down the thought highway of death and you eat of that death tree, it leaves you more empty because you vomit up what you had in your stomach before you even got there. A lot of times, these seeds are planted through traumas in our life. A lot of times, these seeds are planted through something that someone said to us. The power in thinking about what you're thinking about is one, determining what type of tree your thought path is, but two is determining where did that thought begin. Because it's not enough to identify what a thought is. It's crucial to identify the thought's origin. So you can go deep into the roots of that tree, no matter how thick, no matter how big, or no matter how small, and uproot it and take it out of your life. You see, let's imagine that someone grew up with an abusive parent. This parent did nothing but totally disrupt your self-image. They accused you of being a failure, worthless, a waste of time. And over time, those statements, those accusations, those labels stuck with you all through adulthood. You started to believe this about yourself. You started to identify with what your parents said, and it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. It feels like everything you put your hands to, you fail. It feels like everywhere you go, you feel out of place, you feel rejected, you feel like a waste of time. Why is it that what your parents said is becoming true? Because how you see yourself, your self-image determines how your life will pan out. Your self-image is one of the most powerful ways to control your life. And if you have a negative self-image, you're inevitably going to have that self-fulfilling prophecy of what you think about yourself. Because how you think is how you act, and how you act is how you pan out your life. So again, back to the seed part. When your parent first made that statement of you're worthless, you're a waste of time, you're an accident, they planted a seed in your mind, a seed of death. And every time they said that over and over again, and you believed it, it watered that seed and made it grow and grow and grow. And then after you moved out, every time you identified with what your parents said and gave it weight, you watered that seed and allowed it to grow and grow and grow. And now it's a firm aspect of your identity to where if someone tells you otherwise, if someone tells you you're worthwhile, if someone tells you you're valuable, if someone tells you you are a masterpiece and one of a kind, it seems like they're speaking a foreign language to you, and you don't just find it hard to believe, but you utterly reject it because this thought path, this idea has become so ingrained to your personal identity, you can't imagine anything else being true. This is the heightened form of deceit when you accept that lie to where it becomes truth. And the only types of food that you seek in your thought trees is those fruits of death. Now, I know this is kind of deep and this is kind of weighty and kind of abstract, but I want you to take some stock into what, or take some thought into what you're thinking about. Take some thought about the little thoughts, take some thought about the big thoughts, and just ask yourself, is this thought going to grow into a tree of life that's going to refresh me? Or is this thought going to grow into a tree of death and leave me empty and kill me? If you approach your mind with that one concept, your life will be changed because you'll be able to discern this is a good thought and this is a bad thought. And you can throw out the bad thoughts and harness the good thoughts. Okay, Joseph, that's great. But what if I have so many trees of death in my life? I don't know where to start. Or what if I have this tree of death that's just so overwhelming? How do I uproot that? No matter how big the thought tree is that you want to uproot, you can't uproot it. It just takes a little bit longer time to do so. The journey to healing is a little bit long. So the bigger the tree, the more committed you have to be to freedom. But I can tell you from personal experience, freedom is worth it. It's hard, but it's worth it. So if you have a big thought tree of death that you want to uproot, first identify the tree. Second, dig down into the roots. Digging down may take some time because these roots may go deep, 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 deep into your childhood, deep, deep, deep into an obscure event. And you have to think about it and you have to ask yourself why you think this way. And you have to uncover the origin of that thought. Then once you identify that origin, you can begin uprooting it by start telling yourself the opposite. For instance, if we go back to the parental abuse again, if you have a negative self-image and start seeing yourself as worthless, identify the event that caused that and start telling yourself, no, I'm worthwhile. And start rewriting that script every morning in the mirror. Tell yourself, I'm a worthwhile person. I'm worth being in the presence of. I have so much to offer this world. And start uprooting that thought process by speaking the opposite in your life, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't believe it. Keep speaking it until you believe it. And watch how that tree will go away over time. Whenever you're going through that day and you feel that someone is reinforcing that negative thought, or if you feel like you failed, or if you feel like you aren't worthwhile, you need to stop what you're doing and tell yourself no. Verbally tell yourself, no, I'm a worthwhile person, because what you speak overrides what you think. It's powerful. Then over time, as you start rewriting and rewriting and rewriting, you'll wake up one day and realize you have a new tree of life in your mind that refreshes you and that reinforces you are a worthwhile person. You are worth being around. You have value to add to this world. And that's powerful. Again, it's a simple concept, but you have to be committed to the simple to enact change. There might be another group of you, though, that you're like, Joseph, I know I have so many trees of death in my life, and I honestly don't know where to start. I just have this overwhelming sense of death and numbness in my life. I don't even know what it is. You're like, it's hard for me to pinpoint what the specific thought is. Or maybe you've pinpointed the thought, but you are at a loss of where it began. You don't know where the origin is. You don't know where it started. You can't find the event, and you're kind of lost, honestly, in your mind. One thing that's helped me is asking the Holy Spirit for help. Now, like I've mentioned before, I identify as a mystic Christian, and I don't know what your religious or spiritual background may be or where you are at on the spiritual spectrum. But for me, as a mystic Christian, it means I identify and align myself with the traditions of Christianity, but I mystically follow God through following the Holy Spirit each day. Since the Holy Spirit is God, He knows all things, and He lives in me because I've asked Him to be a part of my life, and I've asked Him to be one with my spirit, and I've asked Him to come into my life. So whenever I am approached with a thought process or a thought tree that I don't know the origin is, I just ask Him. I say, Holy Spirit, where did this come from? Help me unearth this. Help me uncover this. Help me find the origin of this. Help me be free from this, and please heal me. Because the Holy Spirit not only wants to show you where the death began, but He wants to give you the power to raise it back to life, just like He raised Jesus back to life. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't know if the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, if you don't know if He's in you and guides you, it's really simple. Just ask Him. Just say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Holy Spirit, become one with my spirit. Holy Spirit, I want you. I want you to guide my life. I want you to lead my life. Lead me and show me the way to raise all these dead areas of my life back to life. Because that's what He wants to do in your life. It's very simple. And once you ask Him, if you have thought trees or if you're having trouble locating thought trees, it's super easy. Just say, Holy Spirit, show me. And He will show you. He will take you down a journey of healing. He'll take you down a journey of identifying those thought processes and raising them back to life. It's powerful. I cannot describe it. Because at the end of the day, we're just human and we can only self-actualize to a certain point. At some point, we need to reach out to a higher power who knows us more intricately than we even do and who has the power to raise every dead area of our life back to life. And that's through the Holy Spirit. Hey guys, I really hope this encouraged you. I hope it honestly made you think and made you curious about what you think about. There is hope out there, and you can change the way you think, and you can plant trees of life that refresh you forever. If you want to learn more about mental health or spirituality, check out my Instagram at talkreal.co. Or if you want to explore the Christian perspective a little bit more, check out my website at talkreal.co. My DM is always open on Instagram. Just hit me up and ask me anything. I'm here for you. I love you guys and I care about you. Keep on uncovering those thought processes. Keep on growing in life. Let's keep on growing in our mental health.